When, hey kid, put away that video game, tanks the stock market. I'm David Brancaccio. Let's start with more details on the ambitious plan for solar power the Biden administration laid out yesterday. It's from a new study from the Department of Energy. It shows the U.S. has the potential to power about 40% of electricity needs with solar energy, and we could do that in less than 15 years. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
Solar energy right now makes up about 3% of the U.S. electricity supply. So getting to 40% by 2035?
It's a very ambitious goal.
Kenneth Gillingham is an economics professor at the Yale School of the Environment.
With enough policy support, I do think the numbers are possible.
Possible, but practical? Not yet. It will take more tax incentives, major upgrades to the electrical grid, and quicker permitting processes to reach that level of solar power. Right now, this is just a blueprint. Getting to policy is Congress's job. And Abigail Ross Hopper with the Solar Energy Industries Association says that certainty is key for financing.
Well, if you don't have the certainty, then investors are going to wait, right? They're going to put their capital on the sideline, or they're going to invest in something that's a little bit more sure bet.
But Ross Hopper says, as climate change is already underway, there's not much time to wait. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Yesterday, it was news of a further Chinese regulatory crackdown on private sector education and the tutoring industry there. Today, it's the video game industry again in the crosshairs. It's a new warning from Beijing about what it sees as the danger to kids of online gaming. That sent stock prices of technology firms tumbling in Asia. Stocks in Hong Kong saw their biggest drop since July as shares of tech conglomerate Tencent fell 8%. Gaming giant NetEase fell 11%. The BBC's Andrew Wood is following this in Hong Kong.
Beijing's responding to the worries of parents who think that children spend too long playing computer games. And you may remember Beijing announced that children would only be allowed to play computer games for 3 hours a week. And it also expressed concerns about the content. So some of the big tech companies like Tencent, they met with government representatives, regulators and so on to show that they were applying the rules and keeping the authorities happy about this.
All right. That's Andrew Wood with our editorial partner, the BBC. Let's do the numbers. Again, the Hang Seng stock index in Hong Kong fell 2.3%. Here, I just checked Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are each down in the 2 to 3/10 of a percent range. As we reflect on the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks this weekend, a key focus is on New York's downtown or the Pentagon in Northern Virginia. And thousands are expected in the farmland of Pennsylvania this weekend, where on 9/11, United Flight 93 crashed in Shanksville. That's about an hour and a half from Pittsburgh. The site of the crash is now a national memorial. Marketplace's Nova Safo is in western Pennsylvania this week and reports today from Shanksville on the wider effects of that memorial on the town and the region.
Flight 93 crashed in a field in Shanksville, population a little over 200. Jason Snyder was a member of Shanksville's volunteer fire department at the time.
Just knew there was a big hole in the ground and smoke coming out.
I met Snyder outside the convenience store he owns in Shanksville, one of only a couple of businesses on the handful of streets that make up the town's core. Snyder says every year around this time,
you just get an influx of people in the whole week or 2 weeks before, you know, people coming down.
That influx has not necessarily meant new business, though. Snyder says his store serves mostly locals and sometimes a few curious tourists. That's not the case 10 miles away in Somerset, the closest big town, population 6,000.
Did you want a quarter pound or a half pound burger?
At the Pine Grill restaurant there, Dylan Zerfoss is taking phone orders. He says the Flight 93 memorial brings in a lot of newcomers.
Quite often we'll have patrons ask for directions alone to the monument, or they'll say that they have been there.
Pine Grill's owner, Mark Miller, really noticed the uptick in business when the National Memorial officially opened in 2011.
At any given time here in the restaurant, you might have 25-30% of the people that are going to Flight 93.
Miller's restaurant has benefited because of its location in Somerset, the biggest city in the area, right off the Pennsylvania Turnpike, with a cluster of hotels and restaurants for visitors. But Ron Eldham, head of the Somerset County Chamber of Commerce, says those benefits have not translated to a significant regional economic boost.
It hasn't had that big of an impact on permanent things like, you know, more restaurants, more hotels, more, but it has solidified those that are here.
One reason for that, he says, is that Somerset was already a tourist destination, with state parks, ski resorts, and other attractions. The other reason, Eldham says, is that the Flight 93 Memorial is personal for so many here who witnessed the tragedy 20 years ago.
There's a sense of nobody wants to exploit it.
With new businesses that take advantage of the memorial's presence. In Somerset, I'm Novosafo for Marketplace.
And the anchor city in that region's economy, Pittsburgh, will host a high-level meeting later this month that could define the U.S. economic relationship with Europe for years to come. It's big-picture stuff. Technology standards, making supply chains more secure, sustainable technology, and the rules for data and privacy. This U.S.-EU Trade and Technology Council will begin meetings September the 29th. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.